We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Before we begin, a plug for my radio show, The Tuned Up Time Machine, which is on Islington Radio. That's on Mixcloud. You can listen to it whenever you want. There's some other great shows on there with some great people, but you must listen to mine, The Tuned Up Time Machine. We go all over. We get music from all manner of genres, all places, times. Get involved. It's such a great show. It's a dream come true. I'd urge you to listen to that. It's great. And so the podcast, we're doing this again. I love doing this. I say that every time. But this podcast has kept me going through all these dark times. It really has. Talking to different people and just getting to have a chat, because I've got to be honest, I didn't realise I was doing it. Sometimes I shut myself off. I don't even know I'm doing it. You know, I'm a big advocate for chatting and opening up and reaching out to people, but sometimes I don't take my own advice and I don't reach out and I shut off and I don't even realise I'm doing it. So if anyone was expecting something from me or something or other and you haven't heard from me or whatever, it's because I've been shut down. I'm rubbish and I'm so sorry. I will make amends. So let's have a look at some of the Apple podcast reviews. Again, thank you very much for doing that. So many 5 stars. People love the show. I'm really pleased. We've got Jade MUA Top. Just discovered, and it's top. We'll subscribe. I'm also glad to see there's the other version too. And that's right, there's also Insane in the Fembrain. Raoul Wilson chats to the ladies, find out what goes on, because I'm not a lady and I don't know. And we also got Johnny W. Loving it. Thank you, Johnny W. We've got Darkest Decadence. Outstanding, says Darkest Decadence. Thank you so much. And we've got Danny P40. Love it. There's so much to this podcast. It literally makes me laugh out loud, nod in agreement, and discover stuff about myself every time I listen to an episode. There you go. Thank you, one and all. It really makes a difference to the ratings. You know, it pushes us up the charts and it gets people noticing. That's why I do this. You know, I do it because I want people to realise that they're not alone. I learn something with every episode. You know, it's as well as people listening, I learn stuff too. So you know, we're all learning together. It's such a beautiful thing. And thank you so much for all your wonderful reviews. My guest this week is Jamie Green. Now Jamie Green isn't someone that you will know. I met him. I think we say in the episode where we met. But Jamie is a wheelchair user, and he doesn't let that slow him down. Like, you know, he's got a carer and he needs help, but the man is next level. You know, I've seen him in gigs and he gets himself around. We see him in Edinburgh and we've had a pint together, and And it was so, what put him in my mind, I wanted to get him on ages ago, and I'm like, I'll get around to it. And then someone sent me a message just saying, like, it would be really good to get somebody on who was disabled and find out about their experiences. And I was like, you know, that's a great idea. So I thought, yeah, I'll speak to Jamie. And Jamie was up for it, and he came on. And he's just lovely. I love him so much. He's a mate, and he doesn't hold back. He doesn't give a fuck. He's just really he's honest and he's funny, and I love talking to him. And it's nice to see. It's nice to get, you know, to be able to ask these questions. And, you know, like I've said before, I get it wrong sometimes. I don't know how to start the conversation, or I ask the wrong thing. But it's just sort of a safe space for that. You know, you couldn't do this on, like, Twitter or something like that. You'd get shot. But, and I'm not being offensive. It's just sometimes, you say the wrong thing. You just don't know how to start this thing. So it's nice to get involved with these people. And Jamie was brilliant. We had a really nice chat. So coming up in a bit is Jamie Green.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Here we are. Hello, Jamie, mate. Well done. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. You?
Yeah, good, mate. Nice one for coming on. Sorry it's taken a while. Are you all right? How are you finding the lockdown? Are you doing all right?
It's been pretty shit, to be honest with you, mate.
Yeah?
The first lockdown was, I would think, better than this one, because I feel like the first one, everybody knew what they were doing, whereas now, like, people are still going to work.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I've seen it. I know, I was out, well, coming here today to record this, and I'm like, there's traffic jams. Like, how's there traffic jams? I thought we were all indoors. It's a funny old one, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it's nice. I mean, I haven't seen you, because normally we would have bumped into each other in Edinburgh or something like that, wouldn't we?
Oh, don't talk to me about Edinburgh. I missed it so much this year.
Yeah. I wanted to get you on. I wanted to get you on anyway, because, you know, we know each other, and I wanted to have a nice chat with you. But someone put a comment a few weeks ago, and they were saying it'd be nice to have somebody on that was someone who was a wheelchair user, someone who was disabled, to talk about what they, you know, how you live your life. And I was like, I know the very person, Jamie Green.
Yeah.
We've never really spoken before, have we? Not properly.
Well, we've had drinks in bars, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you've heckled me while I've been on stage.
I got away with that one.
But tell me your story, Jamie. Tell me your story. How did you come to be a wheelchair user? I don't even know how to start the conversation. This is what happens. It might sound a bit clumsy, but I don't really know how to ask. So tell me your story, Jamie.
Well, I've always had cerebral palsy. I was born with it. I developed cerebral palsy through lack of oxygen, and from when I was born, because I was born 10 weeks premature.
Okay.
And they weren't really sure what was wrong with me. And it took them a while to work out what was going on.
Yeah,
right. I had a heart defect. So, and because I was so small when I was born, they had to wait until I was 9 weeks old to do major heart surgery on me.
Bloody hell.
So, yeah, that's because they didn't really know what was happening with me, because there was no sort of, it didn't come up in the previous scans or whatever.
Mm.
So that's why I've sort of developed the cerebral palsy through lack of oxygen.
Oh, I see. Because I don't know much about cerebral palsy. I know you, and I've spoken to Rosie Jones a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's something that nobody really talks about it when I was growing up, so.
It's the easiest way I can describe it is it's like having a stroke.
Right.
But it normally affects sort of one side of your body more than the other, because I'm affected more on my left-hand side than my right.
Okay.
I have 90% use in my right hand, but absolutely no use in my left.
Yeah, right. And that's always been that way, is it?
Yeah, always been the same. And a lot of people with cerebral palsy have, like, speech impediments and stuff.
Mm.
So I'm quite lucky that I don't really suffer with that other than when I'm drunk.
Which I've seen.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But that's, oh, mate, I had no idea. It's funny, isn't it? It's one of the conversations I've had with Rosie. We were at a gig, and there was a guy in the front who was a wheelchair user, and he was with his mum, and he couldn't talk, but he would communicate using a book, so he could point out words in this book. And it made me realize, I was like, oh yeah. I said, even though the body isn't working, the brain is still active. He can still communicate, and he knows what he wants to say. And that's what people forget, don't they? They just assume that you don't know what's going on, even though you do.
Yeah, definitely. That's the most annoying thing. If people, I always say, if people could see me not in a wheelchair, they would have a completely different opinion.
Yeah.
But they see the wheelchair first, and it's really annoying.
I know. And then straight away, I've worked with people with disabilities before, so I've had some sort of, not training, but I'm used to it. I know how to, you're just in a wheelchair. It's not anything to do with anything else. You know, you're still able, you still converse in the, you're still a person, regardless of anything else. But some people don't, they've not had that experience. So when they first meet you, they just assume that that everything's fucked. You don't know what's going on. Yeah.
But it's like I say, there's dickheads in all walks of life, even in wheelchairs.
So, yeah, that's right.
we're not all sweet and innocent.
This is the thing, isn't it? Just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean you're not a wanker.
Yeah.
I know. I said to Jade, I'm interviewing Jamie Green today. And she went, who's Jamie Green? I went, you know Jamie, the guy in the wheelchair in Edinburgh. She went, the rude one.
Thanks.
I think you must have had some banter with her.
Yeah. Well, I try and have banter with everyone.
Yeah, you do. You do. That's what I like about you. You don't give a fuck, do you?
No, I don't.
But going through your life? Because whenever I see you, you've got an assistant with you, like people driving you to places. And do you have someone with you all the time?
No, I have somebody with me sort of... So at the moment it's breakfast, lunch and dinner, but most of the time when I'm out, I'm with someone, just because I need toileting and things like that.
Yeah.
So most of the time when I'm out and about, I'm with someone. But when I'm at home, sometimes obviously I need cooking and cleaning and stuff to be done.
Yeah.
I need to be got up and the sort of personal side of things. But other than that, I sort of have someone with me when I'm out and about.
Yeah. But when you're at home, once everything's done, you're in on your own.
Once everything's done, I'm all right.
Yeah. How does that make you feel? You know, you must have some days it must fuck you off.
Well, a lot of people ask me that, and I'm like, well, I know no different. So it's kind of like I've always had someone that's had to help me get up in the morning. I've always had someone that's had to help me go to the toilet. So it's kind of just part of being me, really.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I've thought a bit like that before. We always assume from our own experiences that you feel that, we go by what we think we'd feel like. But we come from, we come from this side where we haven't had to go through that. So we just assume, I don't know, how would I feel? Would I be embarrassed? But like you say, you've always been that. It's always been there for you, hasn't it? So,
yeah, and I've been quite lucky because my family have always been, always treated me the same as my other brother and sister.
Right.
My younger brother and sister are able-bodied, and I've always been treated as just Jamie, and it's just me, rather than Jamie's in a wheelchair, you've got to be careful with him.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's just Jamie, he's used to it.
Yeah, right. And that's how you want to be treated. That's the thing, isn't it? People just want to be treated as people.
Yeah.
And that's what people forget, don't they? I mean, you can even the way they talk to you, imagine sometimes can be a bit infuriating for you. You're like, just fucking talk to me. Why are you talking to me in that voice?
Yeah, and I mean, like, I'm quite lucky because I've got a wheelchair that goes up and down.
Yeah.
So when I'm talking to someone, particularly when I'm at a gig or when I'm out and about, I try and get up to their eye level.
Yeah.
So I can actually talk to them in the face rather than them having to bend down and sort of give me the patronising slump.
That's it, yeah. You don't know whether to like kneel down or stand there casually. It's a funny one, isn't it? You don't really know. And a lot of people, they're not doing it. They just don't know how to communicate with you. They don't, because they're too busy worrying that they're going to offend you.
Yeah, but just talk to me like a human being and I'll get on all right.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? It's that, yeah, put aside all, like you've already said, put aside the fact that you're in a wheelchair, or anything else, and just talk to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I like about, that's every time we've spent time together, it's just, I just like hanging out. Yeah, we're just having a chat and having a good time and getting a couple of beers. You get about as well, don't you? I see you all over the shop.
Yeah, well, I up until lockdown, I really miss gigging. I really, really do miss it. I used to love just being out. And at gigs is just a special atmosphere, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when people are expecting laughter. And then I come on the stage, and then they're not quite sure. And then I drop my first gag, and they think, actually, he's cool, he's all right. I can laugh at him.
But like, it goes back to what we said before. People don't know how to react because they don't want to offend. They don't want to look like they're idiots. They don't. Yeah, it makes people nervous. But the fact that you go on stage, doing stand-up comedy is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, we got you've had all this other stuff to deal with, and now you've gone, well, I'm going to make it even harder. I'm going to do this now.
There's no other thing like doing stand-up, definitely. I've tried doing acting, and I've been in plays and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's nothing quite like having an audience in front of you and when they laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, that buzz from when you see a room full of people pissing themselves laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing else like it.
And I don't know about you, but I'm really nervous up until I tell my first joke and then it just goes.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, once you get that first gag out, get that first laugh, the rest is, yeah, but there has been I don't know if you've had this, but I've had it a couple of times where, and all comedians go through this at one point, when you'd land your first gag, gets nothing. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've had to dig for that first laugh a few times. It comes in the end, but you just got to stick with it.
Yeah. You want to be treated like everybody else, and so as a comedian, you go up on stage, them not laughing, they're not laughing at you just because they feel sorry for you. Sometimes they'll go, "No, fuck you, you're not funny," and regardless, and that's what you want as well, isn't it? Is that you don't want to be patronised.
Nah, I try and stick to my material as much as possible. Obviously, you have to reference things in the room if something really funny happens, but I try and stick to my material because I know that it works.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so you've got a close relationship with your family, by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's handy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still living with my parents at the moment, and sort of thank God that I am right now being in lockdown, because I'd have been totally screwed without them, sort of, because I'm sort of limiting my contact with as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I'm kind of reliant on my family at this point in time, but I'm looking to move out fairly soon.
Yeah, right.
Into my own place, and then I'll be kind of, then they'll have to up the care side of things, and
yeah,
I'll have to have more carers at home with me doing the boring stuff such as washing and cleaning and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm kind of lucky to have that all done for me at the moment.
Yeah, that's the beauty of living with your parents, isn't it? They do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's what I like about you. You don't let anything slow you down. It would be, you know, people that are able-bodied, you know, a lot of the time they're like, oh, I don't need to do anything. I'm going to just stay here. I'm going to stay here. I've got it. I'll just be here, comfy. Whereas you don't let anything slow you down. You're like, I want to go and do this. I'm going to go and do that. And off you go.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to experience living independently and living on my own. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. No, it's phenomenal.
It's been a couple of years in the pipeline. I mean, it'll probably happen within the next 6 months, me moving out.
Yeah.
But it's been years of me looking for places, and I obviously don't want to move too far away from home.
No.
Because I still want to have that connection with my family, whereas I want to be far enough away to be independent.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And do you have, I mean, because every time I see you, you're always so positive, you're always upbeat. And do you ever have any days where you're like, oh, fuck this, I can't be arsed?
Yeah, oh yeah, everybody has them days. I mean, I look at, sometimes, I'll give you an example, like a couple of years ago, my brother and sister went travelling. They were not in the same place, but they both did that whole thing of, they went to Australia and New Zealand and all around the world traveling. And I was like, because they're younger than me, they're 25 and 21. So I've never really experienced traveling because I've always thought that would be like a bit too much of a big step sort of thing. And I did go for a period when they were away where I was like, I wish I could do that.
Mm.
Like, just go away and experience like the world and stuff. But I go to Edinburgh every year, well, as often as I can.
Yeah.
And for me, that festival is basically my Glastonbury, my rock and roll festival.
Yeah.
I just love it there. You can bump into anyone at any point.
Yeah.
So that is my traveling for me. I just go to Edinburgh every year.
Oh, amazing, mate. Oh, yeah, you must have been gutted then this year, like you said.
Oh, yeah, I had my first solo show all booked.
Oh, did you?
I'd written three quarters of it.
Yeah.
And I was all ready to go. And then in sort of April, it was like, we knew the inevitable was coming, but we didn't want to think it was actually going to happen.
No. But tell you what, three quarters, you've written more than most other comedians do.
Yeah, I've been, because I've done smaller festivals. I've done the Cambridge Fringe Festival a couple of years running. So I would say I've got about 40 minutes worth of good show material at the moment.
And how do you write? Do you dictate it to somebody or?
No.
What do you do?
I'm quite lucky because I have I use a sort of Mac dictation.
Okay.
So I just speak into my computer and it writes it for me.
Oh, man.
But sometimes I'll note things down on my phone, but I always do that thing of I'll note things down on my phone, but I won't quite put it into context. So when I'm looking back at it later, I'm like, what does that actually mean?
Oh, yeah. I've got loads of scribbles in books. And it'll just say something, I don't know, it'll say something like, I don't know, Chinese jam. And they're like, what was I thinking about when I wrote that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And then I have to, so what I have to do now, I have to write out the whole thing that I've thought. Because if I just write the word, yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, and I'll sometimes try and get ahead of myself and I'll write in bullet points, but it's not full material yet. And then I'll realise that the bullet points actually don't make any sense because I've not fully written the piece of material, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. I've got reams of it, yeah. Just lines and lines of words and that. I'm like, I don't fucking know what I was thinking. Sometimes when I'm pissed, I'll write stuff down and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the next day, I'll go to bed going, that stuff's going to be killer when I start doing it. And then I read it back the next day. One, I probably can't read it. Because I'm just scrawling, but it just I don't know. I need to be a bit more careful with what I write down, or make more of an effort. It just, especially as I'm getting older, like I say, my brain isn't what it was.
But I find if it's a good piece of material, you actually remember it.
That's true.
And like if it's not good enough to remember, then it's obviously not good enough to be a joke.
That's true, actually. That is true. Although there's been a few times I'll be in bed and I'm like, that's a good idea. I mean, I better jump up and write it down. Like, nah, I'll remember it. By the morning, gone. Absolutely gone. Yeah, every single time. So do you have the same carers all the time, or is it a company that looks after you, or?
Well, I've got I'm funded by my local council, so I have what's called direct payments.
Okay.
So they basically give me a certain amount every month to spend on carers, and I can employ who I like to basically do that care. And I'm quite fortunate that I've been with the same full-time carer for about 8 or 9 years now.
Oh, brilliant!
I mean, you must have seen him at Edinburgh. He's been to every Edinburgh festival that I've been to.
Yes.
And then I'm quite fortunate that I have like what I call bank members of staff. So they're not full time, but I call upon them when needed.
Yeah. What's his name? I can't remember his name. Long hair.
Kevin. Yeah.
Kevin. That's it. Yes, I do know Kevin. He's a lovely bloke.
He's a musician as well, so he's trying to get the whole gig thing.
And was that pure chance that you met just through the agency?
Oh yeah, that was absolutely. I followed his band because the lead singer of his band lived in the same village that I do.
Yeah,
and we kind of bumped into each other at gigs over the years, and then he was looking for a new job, and I was looking for a new person, and the stars sort of aligned, and we started working together.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He's a nice bloke. I know Kev. Yeah, lovely
guy. I've got a lot of time for him. He's made me achieve a lot of things in my life.
Amazing. So, what a lovely partnership you've got. It's fucking great.
Yeah, we're quite fortunate because we get on as mates as well. So we just have a laugh and a giggle all the time.
Yeah. And there's also, well, if you're out and people just assume that because you're disabled, there'll be another person, another wheelchair user, and they go, "Oh, we'll sit them together because they'll get on." Do you get that at all?
Oh yeah, you get particularly at music like concerts, open air concerts. They'll have a section for the disabled people.
Yeah,
and you're all on like a raised platform because you supposedly can't see anything. Unless you're up high, and then you all just sat there like meant to sort of talk to each other and like get on just because we're disabled, and it's just not like that.
I know, that's it. Like you said, just because you're in a wheelchair doesn't mean that you could be an absolute wanker.
Yeah,
and, you know, even there's people that I've been in, you know, that I've been in social situations with, and I'm like, oh my god, this person's an arsehole, but. Yeah. You know, I don't stand there and carry on talking to them. So there's that assumption, like you say, that you're just because you're in a wheelchair, you're all going to just be fine and get on.
And the amount of times that I've been in the same room as somebody who's in a wheelchair or got cerebral palsy, and they think that we know each other. Like there's some community hall somewhere where all the disabled people get together and slag off the Tories. Like, what? We don't all know each other.
In Cerebral Palsy Club.
Yeah.
Oh my God, imagine that. This is Jamie. Oh, Jamie's got cerebral palsy as well. You must know each other from the same club.
Yeah. it's not good. But that is very, very true. People think that. People think just because you've got the same disability or any kind of physical disability that you must know each other.
Yeah. I just assume you're going to get on.
Yep.
Mate. And that's, you just want to be treated, it doesn't even, your disability isn't the most interesting thing about you. You know, you're a person in your own right. And that's how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we have these chats.
I've got a group of mates that'll tell me it sucks, basically. Basically, we're friends with you because you're Jamie, and we're not friends with you because you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How many times have you had the joke, "Oh, give us a lift home"?
Yeah, give us a lift. I'll get out of that, mate. I want to get home. Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
How many beers have you had? And the old drink driving one as well. When you're in a pub and you've got a pint in your hand and somebody comes up to you and says, "Oh, you better not be drink driving."
Oh, God. I've got to be honest. I think I've said that. Oh, what a prick. I've said that on stage to someone. When I hadn't been going very long and I said that. Yeah, thinking I was old Johnny Big Bollocks, thinking I was all clever.
I mean, it's funny the first time you hear it, but when you hear it every time you go into a pub, it's not so funny anymore.
And do you get annoyed if someone's overly fussy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite fortunate because my mates sort of know my limitations and they help me sort of, we have a funny thing in the pub because if I order a pint, I can't always get it to my mouth without spilling it.
Yeah.
So what my mate will do is he'll take the top of it for me.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah,
he'll drink the top up. He'll drink just down to the, basically, so it's not spilling everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'd say that's an advantage you're going out with me.
Yeah.
By the end of the night, you get an extra pint.
I was going to say, that's about a pint's worth.
Yeah.
Mate, I might start coming out with you.
Yeah.
Get a free pint.
And then some bar people have sort of stuck straws in my pint and stuff, and I'm like, that's nice, but no.
No.
I'm all right, thanks. I can drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone listening has ever drunk a pint through a straw. It's not the best, is it?
No.
But and getting about, I mean, are more places now, are there more accessible places now than there used to be, or is there still a lot of work to be done? Not that I'm saying you're an expert on this.
There's still a lot of work to be done in terms of, because we live in, 2020 now, people think that places must be accessible, but there's a rule that says if a building's a certain amount of years old, that they don't have to actually try and make it accessible.
Oh, really?
So they kind of get away with it. But yeah, a lot of places I go are accessible. But again, getting to gigs that are down in basements or up in the attic, are a bit of a nightmare. So I sort of pick and choose my gigs access wise, as well as sort of whether it's actually going to be worth my while going.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But I carry a portable ramp around with me everywhere I go. I mean, I'm quite fortunate because I've got a big van, so I can carry a portable ramp around with me so if there's like a little step to get in, then I can normally get over the top of it. But again, like there's places that I've been to before where there's a disabled toilet, but it's upstairs.
Oh yeah, that's handy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like you just don't think.
No. But things are improving. Yeah. They are improving, aren't they? But they are doing it because no one wants to spend the money, do they? They all want to be, you know, everyone's banging on about being more accessible and doing more things for people, but they don't want to spend the money, do they? Really?
No.
It seems a lot.
And then the amount of places I've been where they say that it's accessible. I can actually get in, but they're using the disabled toilet as storage area because nobody ever uses the disabled toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's mad, isn't it? People just don't think.
Yeah.
Mate.
It doesn't happen every day. They think it's only a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, and what amazes me, like, they care more about these old buildings than actual people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, this building's 500 years old, so we don't have to put ramps in. So, sorry, wheelchair users, you're going to have to just sit outside because this is... And it's just bricks. It doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah.
So you're back at your parents at the minute and they're taking care of you. Have you had a conversation with your parents about your beginnings, about, you know, what happened when you were born and things like that?
Well, when I was born, I was quite my parents were told the first night I was born that I probably wouldn't make it through the night.
Right.
And since then, they've kind of been sort of not grateful as such, but kind of like made the most of every day sort of thing. So. And they've never kind of let my disability kind of hold me back.
No.
I was quite fortunate that my mum pushed me to go to mainstream school.
Yeah, right.
They wanted me to go to a school for people with learning disabilities and stuff. But my mum pushed for me to be in a mainstream primary school and secondary school. And in the end, that was the most, like, the best thing she could have done for me.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because then, yeah, fantastic. So that's obviously where you get your get up and go from. Your tenacity, the way you push yourself, obviously comes from your parents.
Yeah, and I'm like, my auntie's a chief executive of a charity for people with learning disabilities as well. So she's always been, had my back as well. So I'm quite fortunate that a lot of my family have always supported me in whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Even stand-up comedy.
Oh, mate. Boy, what did they say when you said you were going to do that or have a go?
They weren't that surprised, to be honest. My mum just said, right, I'm not coming to watch her and don't do any jokes about me.
I don't know. My mum and dad say they won't come and watch me because they're worried that someone will heckle and they'll get the ump.
Yeah. Mum's exactly the same. Mum's exactly the same. She's like, I'll be upset if somebody heckles you or says something rude about you.
Yeah. And what about with, representation in films and TV and things like that? You know, how do you feel about all that? You know, there could be, it's starting to happen, isn't it? But it's like, again, there's still a long way to go.
I mean, it is starting to happen, but I think that it's starting to happen in sort of only programs that people that are entirely about people with disabilities. Like, for example, I love The Last Leg, don't get me wrong, I think it's a brilliant TV show, but it doesn't need to be like only about people with disabilities. It can be about everything.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be a big issue that there's a presenter with a disability.
No. It should just, like you say, in TV and films, you're just a person going about your day. It just so happens that you're in a wheelchair rather than, yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Rather than it being a special thing. It's like, go on.
It should be done on talent rather than the fact that it ticks a box.
Right, yes. Yeah, we're in the middle of an overcorrection at the minute, aren't we? We're making the changes.
Yeah.
And it'll swing back, but it's going to take a while until we, like you say, everyone's kind of, it feels like everyone's panicking at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, this change has needed to happen for a long time, but I don't think it's going to happen overnight.
No. Oh, it'll take,
It's going to take many years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's only been in my lifetime that only recently, the last 20 years, where I've seen things start to change, like places being made more accessible. and that's
I mean they celebrated 25 years of the Disability Discrimination Act just like last month.
Yeah, right.
So it's been 25 years since kind of disabled people have stood up and said that's enough, we want to be included more.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's still on the fringes, but it's there in the background, but it's still there should be more representation, I think. But yeah, again, I believe it should be done on talent rather than just because you've got a disability.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know, I was talking to someone the other day about this, because I knew that I'd been speaking to you about coming on. And they were saying, I don't really know many, and they don't really know many examples of people with disability, you know, being in the show, but their disability isn't the main focus. And they were, and I think the only example they come up with is Professor Xavier from X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then,
I mean, there was a terrible example in Avatar. I mean, do you remember that film from when it was one of the first 3D films? But
yeah,
the disabled person in it, wasn't actually disabled. It was an able-bodied actor playing somebody in a wheelchair.
Somebody
with a physical disability.
That's right. That's it. And then when he goes into the Avatar world.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I know for a fact that there will be disabled actors out there that could probably have played that part, but
yeah,
they won't have got the audition or the recognition because people don't know that disabled people act.
No, that's very true. That's very true, actually. Yeah, I got to be honest. It's only been in recent years that I've started to realise it. I think you just get caught up in your own bullshit and you sort of don't look around. And then it's only when these conversations start to happen, you go, oh, yeah, of course. That's absolutely should be happening. I think sometimes we a lot of it is privilege. You know, I've not had that much to deal with, really, not in the great scheme of things, and you just forget to sort of look around you sometimes, and that's why we have to have these conversations.
If it doesn't affect you, then unless it affects you personally, then you don't actually think about it.
Yeah, true. Yeah, someone said that. He said, you should do your homework and you should look into things more. And you go, but if you don't know to look into them, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I get it. I totally get it. Because I was always like, they're acting. Of course, it doesn't matter who plays it. But you're right. There are people out there who are wheelchair users and with disabilities that could play these roles perfectly. But they're not getting that looking, are they?
I mean, as we're talking about acting, I started a course, an acting course with the Grey Eye Theatre Company in January.
Yeah.
And I was meant to be doing it for 6 months. But of course, with the coronavirus, it got cut short in March, but they're a tech company that specifically works with people with disabilities.
Okay, cool.
And
yeah,
they've kind of had people that have been in the Paralympic opening ceremony and things like that. So there are companies out there that work that have like disabled actors work with them.
Yeah,
which is not enough.
No. I think it's only just start. People are just starting to make those changes, aren't they? Like you've said, like the Paralympics is now a thing, a proper thing that people actually, you know, it's on television properly. Whereas before, it might have been shoved in a dark corner somewhere, or maybe not even have got a nod. You know.
Yeah.
And that must. How does that make you feel? I mean, you know, it's happening, but it's not. Well, like you said, it's not happening fast enough, is it?
I mean, I was fortunate enough to get tickets to go to the Paralympics in 2012, and it completely changed my mindset on certain things. And to see somebody with a physical impairment like compete in a race or do a sport and be the best that they can be, it was just like amazing.
Yeah,
and I'm not a sporty person. I mean, I'm a football fan, but I've never been into sport or anything. But to see somebody with a physical impairment actually achieve like a lifetime goal of winning a gold medal was just like amazing.
Yeah. I remember watching it and I'm like, fucking hell, I'm always moaning. I'm like, sometimes I'll be in bed, I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered to get up today. I've got to, oh, fucking, I'll be moaning about something. And I know that's just, it's who we are. And, you know, each individual's got their own shit to worry about. But then I see, like you say, the Paralympians, and I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
What, you know.
It kind of did make other disabled people feel a bit lazy from my point of view.
Yeah, you lazy fucker. You should do more, Jamie.
Yeah.
Should get out there, mate, sitting around drinking pints with your mates. Fucking achieve something, mate.
Yeah, well, that's why I do stand-up now.
Well, yeah. What is funny is when you've been at my gigs, we've been at a gig I've been on, and you heckle me and you have a bit of back and forth, and you can feel the room go a bit weird.
Yeah, you can almost hear the bums clenching.
Well, oh, steady on.
Actually talks to the disabled person and takes the piss.
Because, like we've already said, you're a person first.
And just, I'm not made of glass. You can heckle me. I'm all right. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to shatter into a million pieces.
I think, like we've already said, people are more worried that someone else is going to complain about them, or they're going to say, "Ah, oh, he's disgraceful. Look at him treating that guy in a wheelchair." And I'm like, well, we're mates, and two, he fucking deserves it. Sitting there, yeah, giving me shit.
You should watch me when I do my gigs. I'm much more dirty than he is.
Yeah, you're a fucking filth monger, mate.
Yeah, I love it.
Who inspired you to get into comedy? What made you want to do that?
Who inspired me to get into comedy? There was a person with cerebral palsy called Josh Blue, a stand-up comedian from America.
All right.
Who I came to know, came to hear about many years ago, and he's got similar sort of impairments to me. He can walk, but only a little bit. And his comedy was definitely resonated with me. And then I like people like Russell Brand, you know.
Yeah.
Sarah Millican, Mickey Flanagan.
Lovely.
Yeah. I mean, just to have someone laugh at your own joke that you've written yourself is just absolutely amazing. And I thought, you know, I can. Lots of people have to do things for me, but I can actually write a joke and I can actually deliver it.
Yeah.
On my own. I write it myself. I go up there on stage and I deliver it myself. So it's a form of empowerment for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To be able to go up there and have my voice heard.
Yeah.
And I always think that every time I step on stage or wheel on stage, whatever way you want to put it, I'm always breaking down barriers.
Yeah.
People expect me to have a speech impediment or expect me to talk about charity.
Yeah.
I like have a bucket and he been waiting at the door with a bucket. But like, that's not what we're all about.
No, you know, you're not always campaigning. That's the other thing, yeah, is that they just think everybody who's got a disability is always campaigning for something.
Yeah. By all means, give me your money, but I ain't giving it to charity.
It begins at home, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But there is something in that. There is that. I think it's the more, it's the most immediate art form, other than music. Stand-up comedy is a little bit more. Yeah, you can sit there, write something, go out that night, tell it to someone, yeah, and the response is immediate. And yeah, and there's nothing better than making someone laugh.
I mean, I'll quote Russell Brand again. I mean, he originally started off as an actor, but went into stand-up because it was just immediate, because there's, yeah, no audition process. You can go any pub, anywhere, and do stand-up comedy. You don't need to have a qualification. You don't need to have been to art school or acting school to have done it. You can start from the bottom, basically,
yeah,
and work your way up.
Yeah. Just go and do it. That's yeah. Whenever I've been asked, I'm not great at giving advice, and I'm not saying that I have all the answers, but whenever anyone has ever said to me, "How'd you get into this? I want to get into this," and you go, just go and do it. Go and do it. Just go and find yourself an open spot gig, a new material night or whatever, and go and do it.
I mean, I've done like stand-up comedy courses and stuff. I've done one in Brighton, but that was when I'd already started, and I wanted to learn how to hone my craft.
Yeah.
And to how to actually write a proper joke rather than just ramble, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I went to do it. But you don't need to do a stand-up course. You just need to get there. And I've learned more from being on stage and having a bad gig than I ever would from a teacher or being in a classroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. There's nothing more important to being a stand-up comedian than stage time. It's all about being on stage. And you can sit in your bedroom and you can talk to the mirror, and because you'll smash that gig. You'll smash that every time, because in your head you're smashing it. But when you go out in front of strangers, that's where you really learn. That's where you really learn how to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you, but my first 5 minutes was, I would say, was my best 5 minutes. But the more material I wrote, and if it didn't hit, then I learned from it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I learned from having material that actually didn't work more than I did from that golden 5 minutes, as I would put it.
It's so true. You learn more from the shit gigs. There's been gigs where I've lost complete control of the room. I'm like, oh, fuck me. What have I... Because there's some nights, just the whole room just goes, nah, not you tonight, mate. We're not feeling you at all. And they just stare. There's nothing more brutal than a room full of strangers just sat there staring at you.
Yeah, and I find it really, really difficult particularly when they put comedy in a pub and there's a bar right next to where the audience are.
Yeah.
And there's somebody standing at the bar clapping you, like not saying it's a bad thing, but you're performing to that guy that's not laughing.
Yeah.
Rather than everybody else that's laughing.
Mate, that is the sign of a true comedian, is the fact that you're zoning in on the one person that's not enjoying it. When the rest of the room is falling around laughing and there'll be one person there just staring at you with their arms folded.
I haven't had it many times, but because a lot of my material is quite near the knuckle, quite sort of, it's all about me and my disability. And I if somebody able-bodied went up there and did my material, one, it wouldn't work, and two, they'd get things thrown at them because they wouldn't get away with what I was saying.
Yeah.
Often I'll get, oh, you were hilarious, you were this, you were that. But sometimes I'll get people saying, oh, I found that really offensive. How can you say that? I'm like, well, you found it offensive, not me. I didn't.
That's why I was able to say it, because I don't find it offensive.
Yeah.
But you don't set out to be offensive, do you? You just talk about what you find funny.
No, I've always been like, if it's funny, then I'll kind of find a way of working it in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'll always use myself as the fool guy. And I'm quite self-deprecating. I take the piss out of myself, and I take social constructions. Is that the right word?
Social constructs.
Social constructs, and I'll play with them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, because in my last show, I did stuff about having sex and stuff.
Yeah.
And people don't think disabled people have sex. Like, we're just born like action men with no genitalia at all.
We don't want to have sex.
We're not interested in the opposite sex or having sex with someone. But the minute you say that on stage, once people get over the fact that he's talking about sex, they kind of, actually, I didn't think of it like that.
No.
That's really funny.
Well, it's that, well, you know, it's like, how do you have sex?
Do you want me to demonstrate?
Yeah, don't demonstrate.
Mummy and daddy have a special cuddle. Yeah, that's how it works.
Well, is that assumption? Yeah, because you're in a wheelchair and you have to have help with various things. There's that assumption that, you don't have those feelings.
And it's either one or the other. It's either people don't think that we ever have sex, or they think it's really appropriate to ask us in front of a room, a bar full of people, how do you have sex and how do you get an erection?
Yeah. Like, really? You go, well, how do you get an erection? I mean, I didn't think this was going to get to this point. I've got to be honest. It's true, isn't it?
It's not involving yourself, so you don't think about it.
No. Well, exactly. Yeah, unless it affects you directly. Yeah. This is why we have to have these conversations, so that to break down these stigmas and these barriers, to make, you're a person first, and your disability is just a part of you. It's not the main part of you.
Yeah, and people automatically think that people with disabilities are on benefits. And that is just so not true. And it's like, I know so many disabled people that actually work really hard. Again, that's why I love doing stand up, because I get my message out there. And like, you have a right not to agree with it, but it's my message. And like, it's what I want to say, and I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Well, but you're all right though, because I've not had a chance to see you. You're doing all right in amongst all this shit that's going on.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd rather be out gigging and doing what I normally do, but
yeah.
I get the fact that it's a deadly virus and we have to keep safe. And if it means that I have to stay indoors a bit more, then I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. Are you more susceptible to this than an able-bodied person?
I didn't get the shielding notice when it first came out, but I don't want to find out whether I am or not. So,
no. Jamie, this has been a lovely day, mate.
No, it's been really good to talk to you.
Yeah, and you, mate. Well, have you got any? I suppose none of us have got any gigs lined up, have we? Really?
No, I'm concentrating. I'm writing at the moment. I'm trying to create some of my own work. Started my own YouTube channel, so I'm gonna try and do sort of as some sort of disability related videos, but more comedy.
Yeah.
Just because I want to somehow get that audience reaction, although I can't get it live on stage at the moment, I want to be able to let people know that I'm still here.
Yeah, of course, mate. Yeah, of course. I think that's a fucking great idea. Is there anything you'd like to say? Any message you want to say about how people treat you when they meet you?
Not really. Just, buy me a pint and have a chat.
That's fantastic. Jamie, thank you so much, mate.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Ah, man, it's my pleasure.
I've been a long time listener, so it's good to be on, man.
And like I say to people listening, I don't always get it right. I don't know how to start the conversations after time. So if it sounds a bit awkward in places, it's just, I'm learning. I'm learning as I go. That's what I'm doing.
And my point to that would be, do you always get it right with every one of your able-bodied mates? Do you always say the right thing?
Exactly. No, I don't.
Are we sometimes a bit of a dickhead to our mates, and our mates just let us get on with it because we're mates?
Exactly.
So we're just mates. I just happen to be in a wheelchair.
You're fucking right, Jamie. I'm glad to have you as a mate. You've nailed that right at the end there, you little shit. And where can we find you? Where can we find you? You're on the social media and all that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on social media. Jamie Green. Jamie Green Comedy on YouTube. So, yeah.
Lovely.
Facebook or Instagram, I'm all over it. Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.